Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Monday, November 18th, Kirby Beach Town Council meeting. Call this meeting to order. John, do you have an invocation for us, please? And we'll stand for the pledge afterwards.
Please join me in prayer. Lord God, you are the builder of all things. May our leaders work together harmoniously and not get sidetracked by partisan politics. Help our leaders and help us not to be divided, but to commit to working cooperatively for the common good. Give our leaders and us humility and respect for one another. When our leaders have different opinions and agendas, help them find common ground and find ways to compromise. Help our leaders to be mutually supportive of one another. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Please stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item of the agenda tonight is approval of the consent agenda items. Council, have you had an opportunity to look over that? And I'll entertain a motion.
Make a motion to approve as presented.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda items. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes. Adoption of the regular agenda. Questions, comments?
Make a motion to approve as presented.
Have a motion?
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes. Okay, next is public comment. I think we have one person. Debbie, come forward and name and address. We didn't know you were shopping tonight, Debbie.
You're almost every day. Good evening. I'm Debbie Barlock, and I live at 314 H Avenue. On October 12th, I was one of the people that put together the 5th annual Beach and Car Show, which raised over $20,000 for local charities, Deborah. It was a privately run event at the Carolina Beach Lake, and we had a gorgeous day, and over 90 beautiful cars registered for the event. Our goal was to raise enough money to purchase 4 light back machines for every school in New Hanover County. There are 66 schools, public, private, and charter. And we were able to reach our goal and purchase 264 machines. Some of the schools are very small and did not require 4 machines, so we had some machines left over. It was decided to give the rest of the machines to our local first responders. Based on this, and on behalf of the Beach and Car Show, I am pleased to donate 5 machines to the Curie Beach Police Department and 5 machines to the Curie Beach Fire Department. Would it be possible to ask Chief Mike Bowden and Chief Ed Kennedy to step up and accept these?
Sure.
Wait a minute, y'all get up here and be pretty for this. Step up, Barry, if you fit your mate.
Thank you, and thank you, Town Council, for allowing me time to do this evening. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Deb. Thank you. That's all the public comments we had tonight. Next are our presentations. Have a presentation from my auditor, from Bernard and Robbins. So, Robinson, excuse me.
Thank you. Slide over a little bit so you can see the presentation. All right. So, similar to what we discussed in previous years, the town is required to have an annual financial I understand that audit in accordance with the general statutes of North Carolina. All municipalities or all government entities in North Carolina are required to have this audit. And part of that requirement is to report back to the governing body, which is board here tonight, of the results of that audit, as well as some financial performance indicators. There's an Excel spreadsheet file that we put in the data. It has a tab if there's any financial concerns or anything like that. We're here to notify you about that, as well as the finance officer of the town, as well as the board, would have to respond back to the OGC about how to fix those issues and stuff. So, you know, if there were any issues and stuff. So we'll go on to the next tab, which is the auditor's opinion. This is, you know, based off of June 30th, 2024. This was called an unmodified opinion, which is the cleanest opinion that you can receive. And that's the same opinion that you received as long as we've been working with you. That means that nothing came to our attention that led us to believe that the information in the financial statements were not in accordance with the generally accepted accounting principles for government entities and stuff. There's also, if there were any material weaknesses or significant deficiencies that were identified as part of our review of the town's internal controls, we were required to put that in writing. That is a professional standards, but a lack of that letter will let you know that nothing came to our attention that led us to believe that the design or the operations of the internal controls led to be one of these, and you know, nothing came to our attention. The big thing, you know, we talked about it in the past is the general fund and fund balance availability, and this is an important indicator for the town as well as the state. And it determines how financially strong the organization is. And that fund balance availability determines how much you can use to balance the budget from next year. So if you projected your expenditures to be higher than the revenues coming in, what you could do is to balance the budget is use this fund balance availability to kind of balance out the budgets, you know, so the revenues equal the expenditures. The kind of the calculation is you look at what is available, or the total town's fund balance for the general fund, and then you back out certain things such as restricted funds, such as power bill funds, or unspent grants, or like I think the drug seizure monies. There's certain things like that, and then there's a calculation called state statute that they take that out, and that's a special calculation to kind of take out long-term receivables or receivables and less certain liabilities and stuff. So for this past year, for municipalities with general fund expenditures between $1 million and almost $10 million, if you look at across the state of North Carolina, looking at similar municipalities that fall in with the town of Perry Beach, the medium fund balance as a percentage of the expenditures is about 63%. The minimum that the state would like you to have is about 34%, or about 4 months. As you can see in the green column here, you have, you know, I would say almost 100% of your fund balance related to your expenditures, and that's about, you know, almost 12 months, a little bit, you know, 11 and a half months. That's very strong, you know, like you can see, most towns your size across the board is 4 months. So there's some that are down there with 1 month, and then you're at 11 months. So, you know, you can really see the big range there that caused to have that 4 months. And you can see over the last 3 years, that number has continued to grow, just showing how financially strong the town has become over the last couple of years and stuff. Now for the water and sewer fund, some of the key ratios that they want you to look at is a quick ratio, which measures the short-term liquidity. And the short-term liquidity is what you can easily convert cash to pay for the expenditures to operate the water and sewer funds. This, you know, the industry acceptable minimum benchmark is a ratio of one, basically, you know, one to one. And as you can see, looking at the key ratios for water and sewer fund, the quick ratio for Curry Beach for the last couple of years is, you know, it's been a little over five to one, 8 to 1, and this year is about 10 to 1. So again, you show a positive trend of how financially strong the water and sewer services are in the fund by having, you know, that 10 to 1 ratio. The operating income, excluding depreciation and debt service payments, you know, they want you to have a positive number here, and this year is down a little bit, but again, it's still positive. That's good. I think there were some repairs and maintenance that you had to make during the year that probably ate into some of that what we call profit. But that's the reason you do have a profit, is to help build up those reserves to help pay for this unexpected, because you don't really have that fund balance like you do in the general fund stuff as you do in the water sewer. The other ratio is the unrestricted cash to total expenditures. The minimum threshold is greater than 16%. And as you can see, you blew that out of the water the last 3 years. And again, that just shows you that you use the past operating income to help build up a reserve for if there was anything unusual that pops up in order to serve. Now the next one, this is the town's total net position, and the net position is basically your assets less your liabilities, and it kind of shows you how financially strong. And you can see over the last 3 years, it's gone from a little over $20 million to about a little over $23 million. Now the breakdown of that is showing about $14 million is into governmental activities, which is your general fund, as well as your special revenue funds or your capital projects, where the water and sewer fund, which is the business type activities, is little, almost $9 million. So it's a good balance there. You know, you don't have one fund that significantly exceeds the other. You have a good balance here. The thing is, you're showing increases every year. Now the next table is the governmental activities in that position, and this is kind of what we talked about earlier. If you look down, break down, the invested in capital assets, that's your what we call fixed assets or capital assets, less related debt that you took out money to borrow to acquire or build as capital assets. And by far, that's the largest asset or the largest amount of the net position of the town, because if you think about it, you do have a lot of capital assets. And the position there is you don't have a lot of debt related to it. You've been wise in how you did it. The restricted part is a little less than $1 million. That's that, what we talk about it is the reserve for state statutes, and that's a special calculation that requires that every municipality to kind of hold back some of their fund balance. And in the unrestricted portion, that's kind of what we talk about. That's the reserve that you can actually dip into if you need it. And you can see that that's a little over $4 million this year, but it's grown since 2022, which is about $3.4 million. So again, positive trends across the board. Now, business type activity, that's primarily the water and sewer fund, and the breakdown there is, again, similar to the governmental activities. A large portion of that is the capital assets, which is about $5.4 million. And it's pretty steady, you know, that you have some replacements and you got depreciation with it. But the unrestricted, again, is that amount, that reserve that you can dip into. And it's grown to about $3.5 million from about $2.9 million in 2022. Now, the governmental funds, this is the kind of the general fund showing up the breakdown of power bills and things like this. And you can see the breakdown here is the non-expendable relates to the lease receivables that you have where you're leasing out the towers to sell companies and stuff like that. The restrictive, we talk about restrictive, these state statutes, as well as the asset forfeitures, the power bills, the streets, and then money that you set aside for capital projects, which are pretty much probably unspent funds and stuff. The assign is things that you, as a council or board, has determined that you want to set aside funds to cover certain projects, such as beach protection and stormwater. These are monies that you know, you kind of told the finance department, said we want to kind of set up a reserve for future expenditures if needed. But the thing about that is that if you need it, you can unreserve this funds and use them for other areas. But this is, you're trying to think about down the road if there's no federal or state funds to help with the beach protection and stuff, that you at least have some kind of reserve there. And then again, the unassigned is that reserve where you can use to kind of balance out budgets and stuff. Now here's the breakdown of the budget versus the actual of your revenues and expenditures and stuff. And you can see, you know, you budgeted about $8.4 million in revenues. You budgeted about $9.4 million in expenditures, where you had your expenditures exceeded your revenues of a little over $1 million. Some other financing sources, which could be transfers or proceeds from debt that you borrowed and stuff like that. But you see, you had to have $900,000 to kind of balance out the budget of that fund balance appropriation. Now, the good thing about it is the actual amounts is that your revenues, actual revenues, exceeded your budget revenues a little over $500,000, but you didn't spend what you projected to spend by almost $1.5 million. That translates into about $2 million more of revenues over actual expenditures, and then you see the actual amount that you increased the fund balance was about $926,000, and you get it up to $8.4 million. And then the last slide is a breakdown kind of the water and sewer fund. You can see the total operating revenues of, you know, very similar to the operating expenditures. You have $2,465,000 compared to $2,435,000, which is the operating income of about $30,000. The other non-operating revenues / expenditures, the actual revenues of about $150,000, to come up with a positive change of about $188,000. And again, that increased your fund balance to almost a little less than $9 million. Good, you know, still good amount. So the thing about the water and sewer fund is there is that you know your rates do cover your operating expenditures. A lot of municipalities right now are struggling because their operating expenses, with the inflation over the past couple of years, their rate increases have not been keeping up with the increase in the operating expenditures, and a lot of them are having negative operating income. So this shows you a good idea that you're always forward thinking and making sure that you're staying up with the current trends and stuff. I believe you have a copy of the financial statements as well as the related billing letters. We won't get into that, but is there any questions that we can ask?
Anybody have questions for the Victor?
Well, just comment.
Yeah, I got a couple comments. Anybody have a comment? You go ahead, Dave. Go ahead.
So one, great job by the department heads. So as you highlighted, the department heads through the year maintain their spending, right, which is the first part. And then the second part is on the water and sewer system specifically, both a compliments to our finance officer, Arlen, and to Jimmy Messmer, our public works director, because you're exactly right. As we look across the state, there are a lot of municipalities that have not maintained their rates appropriately, and there many of them getting in trouble right now for this very issue. And so if you saw the drop-off in operating income over the last 3 years, that's really driven by the inflation that we've seen in the business side of that. And so, great job, Arlen and Jimmy, forecasting your actual expenses and matching it. So that $30,000 operating income, that's dropped by about $300,000 from the previous 2 years. So if you see the track, our water rate barely covered, but at least covered. So nice job by the two of you forecasting that, because I know it's a complicated issue. So thank you.
Any other comments? I have a couple.
I'll echo what David said, and congratulations to the department heads, and especially to Arlen for keeping the rest of them on track.
I got just a couple comments. Folks, the fund balance, where we stand in fund balance, that's what helps us out. And I think you would probably agree, more coastal communities have a higher fund balance, towns our size, because we've got to have that in case of a storm. That's our reserve. We might get reimbursed for it, but we can't wait until the reimbursements come back in. So that's important to have that high fund balance, because if we'd have a road washed out or something like that, we'd have to have that money in the bank, and then we'll more likely would get reimbursed for it. So that's a strong position to be in. There's a lot of other communities that don't have that strong of a fund balance. And the Water and Sewer Fund, we've talked about that in our budget retreat, and those are public meetings we have that start up in February, and then a plan retreat, and then a budget meeting in April. And we talk about building our fund balance, or building our reserves, because, you know, we have an aging system here in town. So if a water line has to be replaced or something like that, we got to have the funds to do that type work. And you never know. It's just like your home, when you got a reserve fund at your home for repairs and stuff. So great job by our department heads and finance department. And I think we're in great shape. If you read across the state and see communities that the actual financial operations have been taken over by the state through the Department of, Local Government Commission, it's not a great place. My little hometown has run a deficit in the Water and Sewer Fund for like 5 years in a row, and they got the letter. As you say, they got the letter. So we're in good shape here, and we're working hard to make sure that we stay in good shape. So thank you. Appreciate what Bernard Robinson does for us also. Appreciate you, your job. Thank you. All right. Our next order of business is a quasi-judicial hearing, a special use permit for Seabird Motel.
I'm going to interrupt you twice, Mayor.
Okay. Go right ahead.
One thing I wanted to, particularly since one member of the public signed up to speak, I want the public to understand that this is not a public hearing. This is an evidentiary hearing where certain things have to be proved by the applicant based on evidence and testimony. And along those lines, people other than the applicant are welcome to testify, but they have to have standing to testify, meaning that they have to be able to show that they're going to suffer special damages because of the proposed special use. As a matter of fact, the general statutes provide that non-expert opinion, assuming none of you all are expert traffic engineers or appraisers, non-expert opinion on the diminution of property values or traffic safety is not admissible by statute, so you have to have an extra witness. Just want to make that clear before we start. Okay?
Thank you,
Mayor.
Thank you, Jim. I have an order of business, and I'll open this hearing at this point. This is a hearing under the Town of Beach Code of Ordinances 15.08.080.B. on the application for a special use permit submitted by Seabird's Motel at Cree Beach, LLC, that's the applicant, for the property located at 118 Fort Fisher Boulevard South, Cree Beach, North Carolina. The applicant is seeking town approval for the proposed special use of providing paid parking on the property. Next, I have instructions to our town council members. In making factual determinations, council members may only consider competent material and substantial evidence from the parties who have standing. Non-expert opinion testimony, including opinions related to diminution of the property values or the traffic safety issues, may not be considered in making findings of fact. Council is not precluded from relying on evidence that would not be admissible under North Carolina Rules of Evidence if the evidence appears to be sufficiently trustworthy and admitted under such circumstances that it was reasonable for council to rely upon it. Council shall make findings of fact and identify evidence supporting each finding. A worksheet has been provided to each of you for that purpose. Under KBC 15.08.080.B, the applicant is entitled to a special use permit if it provides by competent material or substantial evidence that the proposed special use will, one, not materially endanger the public health, safety, or welfare if located where proposed. Number two, meets all required conditions and specifications under the town code. Three, will not substantially injure the value of adjoining property. Four, will, if developed and used as proposed, will be harmonious and compatible with the area in which it is proposed to be located and generally consistent with the town's comprehensive plan. Council may impose reasonable and appropriate conditions and safeguards when granting a special use permit. The town council decision will be set forth in writing and delivered to the applicant in accordance with the provisions of KBC 12.06.050.J. For the purposes of this hearing, the town attorney will be appearing in an advisory capacity to the council and not as an advocate for either party. Under three, each council member shall state whether a conflict of interest exists due to direct financial benefit, bias, fixed opinion, undisclosed outside contacts, or a close family or commercial tie. Should such a fixed conflict exist, the council member shall recuse his or herself from the hearing, and council shall vote to excuse that member from voting on that matter. At this time, we'll start with Dennis. Dennis, do you have, you need to confirm that you have, whether you have a...
Mayor, council members, just let you know, as a PZC liaison, I was present at the presentations held earlier and given to the PZC committee, or the Planning and Zoning Commission. I have not developed a fixed opinion, nor do I have any bias at this point. But if anyone feels that there's a conflict, I'm happy to recuse myself.
Okay. Uh-huh. I don't. Okay, David.
I have no bias or fixed opinion. I'm good.
Connie.
I have no bias, but I have to reveal also my husband is on the planning and zoning, but I don't know anything about the project.
Okay. John.
I have no bias toward this issue.
I have no bias towards this or fixed opinion. We first heard, we got the council agenda when the public got it. So that's all we know about it. Looks like we'll all be voting on this tonight. At this point, will it be an administration of oath to all testifying? If the ones who are going to be testifying tonight would please come forward and place your hand on the Bible. Jim, do they need to state their name?
No.
Okay, so we'll just do this together. If y'all would place your left hand on the Bible and raise your right hand. Get everybody right now. Repeat after me. I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. Thank you. Okay.
Jump in one more time.
Yes, sir.
The applicant's site plan is exhibit number 4, which Beth probably mentioned, and we have confirmed that it's the same site plan that PZC reviewed. The PZC, we've made some rather 2 feet by 3 feet copies. It is a pretty detailed site plan.
So if you want to
take a peek at it and share it with your colleagues.
I looked at it on PDF first.
Okay, so now we will start the testimony part of this hearing. Our first is Beth Chase, our town clerk.
Good evening. I'm entering into the records that following exhibits will be 1 through 9. I will discuss them. Exhibit 1 is the special use permit application for the Seabirds Motel. Exhibit 2 is the email from Collins regarding the ownership of the property. Exhibit 3 is the agency form executed. Exhibit 4 is the Seabird site plan. Exhibit 5 is the notice of the hearing. Exhibit 6 is the posted notice certification. Exhibit 7 is the mailed notice certification. Exhibit 8 is the affidavit of publication, which council has now received and the applicant. Exhibit 9 has also been received tonight. It is the email to the applicant and the and council of the hearing materials. Do you guys have any questions for me?
Yours is pretty cut and dry. Thank you. Thank you, Ben. Next is Byron Ashbridge.
I'm going to go ahead and read into the record what will be Exhibit 10 and then provide copies at the conclusion.
And Byron is the chair of the P&Z Commission.
So during our October 24 regular meeting, the Kearney Beach Planning and Zoning Commission reviewed the application for a special use permit submitted by Seabirds Motel at Curie Beach LLC, being the applicant. Based upon the applicant's detailed site plan and comments from the applicant's member manager and the town's director of development and compliance, the commission makes the following findings. The proposed special use is compliant with the off-street parking requirements set forth in the Curie Beach Code. The proposed special use is compliant with the other applicable requirements set forth in the code. The site plan shows sufficient parking-related signage. The proposed special use will not include the installation of permeable or impermeable ground coverings, and the parking areas and dog park will remain grassy areas. Based upon its design, the proposed special use will benefit public health, safety, and welfare. The proposed special use meets all required conditions and specifications. There was not any showing that the special use will adversely affect the value of adjoining properties. If developed and used as proposed, the proposed special use will be harmonious and compatible with the commercial area where it will be located and will benefit commercial use within that area. The proposed special use is generally consistent with policy 5.1.C of the town's comprehensive land use plan, which provides in pertinent part that intense commercial development beyond that necessary to serve tourists and residents is not encouraged. The commission recommends that the issuance of the requested permit be subject to the following conditions. The applicant shall designate one of the paid parking spaces as a van accessible handicapped parking space, and the applicant shall provide for enforcement of its paid parking program by entering into an agreement with a third party for the provision of enforcement services. So in summary, the commission does find that the proposed special use is compliant with the applicable provisions of the KBC code and that's set forth and together with the conditions specified in number 10 herein meets the special use permit requirements set forth in KBC 15.08.080.B. Town of Curie Beach Planning and Zoning Commission, Byron Ashbridge, Chairman.
Thank you, Byron. Any questions for Byron? Anybody? Bethany, are you next?
I'm gonna do Dan Collins. Well, it really doesn't matter.
Should
we? We can do that right now. That's more logical.
Everybody, any comments? Anything?
No, sure.
Thank you. Is Bethany next to you?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'd like to tender into the record a memo. I think it will be Exhibit 11. Mm-hmm. Yep, correct. So I'm just going to read through my memo and then I'll take any questions that you have. So the Seabirds Motel, owner of Seabirds Motel at Curie Beach LLC, is an R1 use located in the B1 district / Historic Preservation District. It's currently comprised of four separate parcels, including 118 and 138 Fort Fisher Boulevard South and 210 and 214 J Avenue. These parcels have been approved for recombination into two parcels, which is currently in the process of being recorded by the county. On June 10th, Mr. Collins, appearing as the LLC's agent, applied for a special use permit to allow the grassy portion of the two vacant parcels along J Avenue to become a paved parking lot. This is an allowable usage by special use permit in the B1 district. The Seabirds Motel is currently using these vacant parcels for additional required parking spaces, which they do not meet in the main hotel parking lot. The proposed site plan marks these required spaces and is sufficient to meet this requirement. The special use permit was reviewed and recorded by the Planning and Zoning Commission on October 2nd, 2024, and the need for accessible spaces in a private lot was questioned, and after further research, I confirmed that the proposed parking lot will be required to provide one van accessible parking space in order to comply with Chapter 11 of the NC Building Code. In my opinion, the proposed use will be generally consistent with the town's comprehensive land use plan, and with the addition of one required accessible space will meet all conditions and specifications under the town's code.
Okay, did Bethany, just for the record, please give us your name and your title, please.
I'm Bethany White, and I'm the Director of Development and Compliance.
Okay.
And Mayor, I think if you jump down to number 8, you'll be fine. Number 9, I'm sorry. Number 8 and number 9.
All right, so hold on just a second.
Oh, okay. Hold on.
So, given the location within the overlay district, have you had any discussions with Mr. Collins about a certificate of appropriateness must be being required before the developing the special use?
Yes, we've discussed it. He's had to do that for other renovations he's done to the property, so he's aware of the process.
Okay, all right. Any other quick Connie question?
How many parking spaces are there in total?
It's on the site plan.
It's on the site plan, but I can't remember.
On the side over there.
Yeah, it's in the notes.
Mr. Dollar,
52. Oh, 52? Is that what you're?
Yeah, he's required to have 1.2 spaces that are reserved for his motel. So that is where the reserved spaces that are in the lot are going to serve as the extra spaces he needs.
So there's 22 new spaces and four reserved.
You might lose a space maybe with the van accessible.
Well, yeah, the van itself might drop to 20.
Well, he's got plenty of room to,
okay,
to alter it as needed, but we'll make sure that it, okay, meets all the requirements for parking.
And the handicap one, that one, they don't charge, right? Because you have a handicap placard.
I think for a private lot, it's up to him.
It's up to you?
Yeah.
Okay. He can charge.
But so you can in a private lot. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other questions for Bethany?
No, sir.
Thank you, Bethany. Mr. Tolland.
Good evening. Well, thank you for being here tonight and getting to this point of the process. Again, my name is Dan Tolland, one of the owners and members of Seabirds Motel. We've worked with several folks within the town, as well as the Planning Commission, to get to this point. As you can see on the site plan, I'm able to pull that up right here.
It's going to be a little hard to see.
Mr. Tolland, before we get into that, can you confirm the mailing address? Is it the physical address?
It can be.
Do you have another address that you get your name at for Seabird?
Sure. I can give you my personal.
That's fine. We'll just use the one on the application. I'm curious if you have a separate PO box or something like that.
No, not yet.
Okay, thank you.
You can rotate it 90 degrees so that people can understand it. Okay. There you go.
And Dan, we've got it in front of us here, so.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess the first thing would be, is there any questions or concerns you would want to run through, just kind of based on your brief time reviewing this?
So in the drawing it says that all the park or all the planning is on the property line, but on the west side is the mullet grass that's in the setback area, but how tall is that? Which I should know that, but it says
I don't believe any of the new plantings would be higher than 4 feet.
Okay.
And we were doing that more as a courtesy to help unify. And we discussed whether that would need to be on our property or in the town right away. So it's more of what you guys would prefer to see, but we wanted to at least have that as an option.
All right. Well, you said no tree or shrubs in your site plan, those to be located outside of the Seabird's property line, which I understand. But then in the drawing, just to the west, it looks like your property line is inside them, to the east of that. That's why I was asking, to make sure I understood between the two. I mean, it looks like a nice setup. There's been parking there historically. So, I mean, when the Parnells owned the property 3 owners ago, there was parking in that area. So it's not like it hasn't been parked in for 25 years.
Any questions of Dan? I have a few I'll get to in a minute if another council.
I got one regarding the paid parking. If I buy the town sticker, can I use these
no,
paid park?
This is, no. Okay, this is private, pay, this is private, private. This is private parking, just like the
Sam's
convenience store parking.
So if I'm not staying here, I can pull in one of these and come in the office and pay to park here, or is it metered?
This portion of the existing, as well as several areas over here, are part of what you get when you reserve a room.
Right.
If you need additional parking.
The rest of it's public parking.
Yeah.
So where does that money, how do you pay? Is it each one metered?
No, it's a QR code, just like the town has. Yeah. I think premium parking.
Using that.
That's who we've come to an agreement with if we were able to successfully get the special permit to use the place, special use permit.
Mr. Collins, just a question on the reserve parking for your paying customers, the motel. How do you propose to keep those clearly marked and keep paying customers out of those?
Well, our plan is so the paved area currently has number, it's numbered where the rooms go, and then the additional to the left of the, I guess on the corner of J and Fort Fisher,
right,
that will also have more signage that will be numbered accordingly. And then those guests will have basically a hanger that goes on their mirror.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Dan, I have a few just for our records tonight. The physical address of the property is on our site plan, so we should know that, or in the application. Okay, we have that. You do own the property,
yes, sir,
that we're talking about. You've walked through the site plan. I'm just reading through my list of questions here. Do you have an opinion on whether the proposed special use will or will not endanger the public health, safety, or welfare? Do you have an opinion whether you think it will endanger that?
I do not think it will endanger.
Okay, thank you. And you rely on that opinion, why?
Well, just kind of based on the process we've gone through to make sure that we're just adding value to the community.
Okay, thank you. Do you have an opinion on whether the proposed special use meets all the required conditions and specifications of the town code?
It does.
Okay. And do you feel like your application will injure the value of adjoining property?
I do not.
And you base that on why?
Well, if you look at the existing condition of this parcel versus what we're proposing, I think it, again, just adds value to the area. The beautification also will be a nice aesthetic.
Okay. Is this property located in the commercial district? Bethany may have said that.
Yes, it is.
It is.
It is. Okay. And you stated it, and I think it's very clear in the site plan what the ground cover would be. Going to stay grass.
Same, yep.
And no permeable, impervious surface or anything like that. Are you in agreement with adding, approve of adding the handicap parking spaces?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. And that's one, I think. They said one.
Yeah, I think the other recommendation was having a third party management work.
And you've already talked with, okay, good. Unless y'all have any other questions, I don't have any other of the applicant. Thank you, Dan.
Mr. Collins, you've informed the property owners on the south side of Jay. Are they aware? They're aware of the plans?
I'd have to ask Bethany if we've done that.
We notified them of the hearing?
Yes, all adjacent property owners
were notified.
Is that a requirement?
It was sent to the adjacent property, I sent it.
Yes. Okay. All right, thank you, Dan.
Thank you. Thank your time.
We have one other person we've sworn in. Is that Steve? Please. Please state your name and address, please.
This may be very short.
Okay.
I'm Steve Bevanen. I'm currently at 205 E Avenue in Kirby with my wife, Diana. Been there for 13 years.
Go to your last name, please.
Bevanen, T-H-E-V-E-N-I-N.
Thank you,
Steve. T-H-E-V-E-N-I-N.
Thank you. Uh-huh. I'm not an expert. So I probably have no standing. My wife and I own the lot immediately across the street behind the proposed parking lot, and we're building our new house there. We'll be moving into that house this next excuse me, this next year and selling our house on Key Avenue. And we're just not happy about this. So anything I say, I'm not an expert in, so okay. I don't know that it carries any weight.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Can I ask why you're not happy with it?
We don't want to overlook a parking lot. Right now it's a grassy field, and with a view of the ocean through the J Avenue public access, and as we build our new house in that corner of J and 3rd, our windows and our balconies will overlook the new parking lot.
All right, thank you.
I'm sorry, gentlemen, ladies, let me get my act together here.
You're at number 7 above, but I'm not sure that anybody's got it.
Beg pardon, Jim, I'm sorry.
You're at number 7 above on the board.
Yeah, so I don't think there's really any rebuttals to go through, but number 7.
So the number 8, you need to summarize the evidence and then we'll turn to the worksheet for findings of fact. When we work through the worksheet, you all are entitled to ask questions of the witnesses, but we're not going to open it back up like we did during the regular hearing, but you can ask those questions. So if you want to turn to the worksheet, the first item there is to identify and summarize the evidence presented. It doesn't have to be verbatim, just to give an idea of what was presented to you and what you...
Should we discuss these openly, Jim?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so on our worksheet, the first item is the applicant's name and address of the property. I think we have the very clear that that fact has been submitted. Under number 2, the applicant owns the property. We've established that.
Well, so an LLC owns it, but he's the certified agent of the LLC.
He's the agent and he's certified, yes.
Okay. And we do have
That was an execution.
We have that form, right. The proposed special use is for paid parking.
How many spaces? I got a little confused on that.
Well, it's currently 26 spaces in new public paid parking. 22 of them is paid parking, 4 of them are reserved spaces. But when he modifies it for the van, it may change.
And then there's 3 for new cart parking?
That's for carts.
Golf carts. Yes, so
122 paid parking spaces.
22 right now.
22 right now, but that number will change with the addition of the van accessible handicap parking. Okay.
If you impose that as a condition, right?
Yes.
What kind of building code?
Well, yeah, that's not really a condition,
but
that's a building code.
He has new reserve spaces too, so aren't they new? So 22 plus 4?
Yeah, that's what I said, 26.
Oh, 26, okay. Oh, there's 26 existing also. All right.
Correct.
Under number 5, our Department of Development and Compliance opinion that it meets all the requirements of a special use. Now, under number 6, I don't think it will materially endanger. Actually, there will not be traffic backing out into the street as it has been before, so it should make the area safer.
We need a consensus on this one.
Is there a consensus on that opinion?
So I would agree that it doesn't materially endanger public health, safety, or welfare.
Yes, yeah, I agree.
I agree.
Everybody agree?
Being good at the number seven, again, we need a consensus on that.
So under number seven, the proposed special use does or does not meet all the required conditions and specifications of the town code.
It does.
And it does, okay?
Yes, I agree.
Number eight, the proposed special use will or will not injure the value of adjoining property. And what evidence supports the finding?
Or what lack of evidence?
Beg your pardon?
Or what lack of evidence?
Or what lack of evidence?
Yes, I think no one really talked about that. That was an expert. But at least my opinion is, there's been parking there since that motel's been there. Now it's going to be more regulated with more beautification. So I think it's even in my mind. So I'd say it does not, in my opinion. Injure.
Or the will not.
Will not.
Will not.
I think probably will not.
Yeah, I agree. I think the additional landscaping, and if it's maintained properly, which appears given right. the current conditions that are there now, I think it should not affect.
The proposed,
but I agree, will not.
Will not. The proposed special use, if developed and used as proposed, will or will not be harmonious and compatible with the area in which proposed be located and generally consistent with the town's comprehensive plan.
Will.
It will. We heard that from our P&Z.
And Director of Compliance.
And Director of Compliance.
Agreed.
We'll move down to the conclusions. First one's pretty obvious. Local property owner.
Yeah. So under our conclusions, the applicant does have standing to apply for the request for special permit.
I agree.
Yes.
Under our code KBC 15.08.080.B.2, Town Council shall hear and decide special use permit applications and may impose reasonable and appropriate conditions and safeguards when granting a special use permit. So our one condition, it was one, Bethany, correct? One condition?
Two
conditions.
One was a van accessible and a third party operator.
Yes, right. I'm sorry.
Let's walk through three. We'll get to conditions in a second. Let's go ahead and walk through.
You want to do three before we do two?
Two is just the conclusion that that's what the code provides. There's nothing we need to do about
it. Oh, okay. Nothing we need to do there. Correct. Okay. Thank you, Jim. Okay. So under three, council shall grant the special use permit when showing by competent material and substantial evidence that the proposed special use will A, not materially endanger the public health, safety, or welfare if located where proposed, B, meets all the required conditions and specifications of the town code, C, will not substantially injure the value of adjoining property, and D, if developed and used as proposed, will be harmonious and compatible with the area in which the proposed to be located and generally consistent with the town comprehensive plan.
So now you go to four and see what your consensus.
So now under four, the applicant has or has not shown that each of the four requirements set forth has been met.
Yes.
All right. So Jim, is this do what?
Kind of said has, I would agree.
He has, yes. I think he has too. So, is this where we...
talk about conditions.
So now...
what you're going to do is discuss whether you think any conditions are needed, and then you're going to move on to a motion to either approve, either grant, or deny.
Do we ask Mr. Collins if he is willing to accept those conditions?
No, you can impose them. As a matter of fact,
because of code.
Since you've made your findings of fact, you should go ahead and close the hearing and proceed on with the conditions and the vote on the permit.
Okay.
The appropriate thing to do this time is for you, Mayor, to close the hearing.
Okay, so at this point, I will close the hearing and I guess this is where we discuss what are the conditions and have a motion to approve or disapprove.
That's correct.
Sure. So, for the North Carolina Building Code, which we should follow, there's a requirement for one van required parking space. It can come from either of the paid or your reserved parking spaces, but it needs to be put in there. That's number one, and it needs to be van accessible. And then the second recommendation from our compliance officer is use a third party to collect fees, which I think you want to do anyway. So as I understand, those are the two conditions I picked up.
Right.
Are there any others?
Can we ask for written acknowledgement that a contract has been signed with a provider, a parking management company?
That seems like a reasonable enough condition to me, but you should figure out if that's what the board would want to counsel.
Well, I would recommend that we ask that as a condition we get a copy,
okay, so
or a confirmation of a
written
contract.
Confirmation of an agreement for third party enforcement, right, services. What I would suggest, even though it's required by the code, that just to have it in black and white that if the special use is granted, that the COA needs to be obtained before the special use is developed.
So it sounds like there's three.
Yeah. So we need those included in the motion. There's three items.
Okay. So do we have more discussion? Or
I don't think. Do we have any other discussion?
Yeah, folks, I think I'm good. If there's anything to discuss about the application, or I guess you would make the motion and then have that discussion. If we need
any other discussion, comments?
So I'm.
Okay.
Okay. So I make a motion that council grant this request with three caveats: the COA be completed and approved by the appropriate board of the town, a van access, the plan be modified and delineate a van accessible handicap space, and the requester provide a written confirmation that they are using a third party for any of the paid spaces.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Congratulations, Steve.
I'll be preparing a written decision for the mayor to sign and delivering it to the applicant. It'll take me a while to get to that, but that's the next step.
Okay, all right.
And mayor, you can adjourn this hearing.
All right, the hearing is now adjourned, and we'll go back to our regular agenda items. And just a few folks sitting there, we don't have many of those. We don't have many of these, so I think it's a little bit. Okay, next is committee business, Bike Ped. Okay, thank you, Mo. Community Center Committee, Nikki, you have anything to report? They are doing a talk about over there about coyotes and foxes. I think that's December 12th, I think, over at the Community Center. It's on our account website, something that they put together for the committee. Historical preservation?
No.
Nothing tonight? Marketing Committee, Mark?
Nothing
tonight, sir. Thank you. Planning and Zoning Commission?
Mayor and Council, as we have from a planning and zoning standpoint under Vice Chair Barlock's leadership, they suggested grammatical and syntactical changes. The next round is chapters 8 through 10, along with one other minor change to 15. Chapter 8, again, just a lot of grammatical, syntactical changes. However, we did move existing requirements around real estate signage to Chapter 15 in an area there that's specific to signage. So that was really the only major change. 9 and 10, again, both grammatical, syntactical. Now, within 10, we just did want to note that there are some areas within 10 that require some additional attention. An example being we have definitions in 10 around vehicles like motorcycles and mopeds, things of that nature, but there's no current definition around e-bikes. There had been discussion and suggestions, but we also felt it was outside of our purview to actually tackle that particular topic. So we'd encourage that to be looked at by the appropriate folks. And then, as I mentioned, from Chapter 8, we did move real estate signage to Chapter 15. Typically, any changes to 15 require a public hearing. However, given that that text already existed within 8, and it's just being moved to 15, council did not feel the need for a public hearing. Any questions?
Any questions?
If you're presented with, you need to act on these proposed text amendments, and to echo the chairman's points, nothing substantive has been changed. It's all grammatical and syntactical. PCC discussed it. A month later, they reviewed it, and it's brought to you now for a vote on those amendments to those chapters.
We're good in doing them all in one motion? Thank you for your work, Joe, thank you for your work. This has been quite an undertaking.
You can say that again.
Any
we're home stretch. Just one more section to present to you guys a few months ago.
You got one more round to go?
Still got 11 through 14.
11 through 14. You going to try to do all those at one time?
To be determined.
Y'all bite off nice chunks at a time. Any questions? I've read through everything. I don't have any concerns. Council have any questions?
No.
Okay. We'll entertain a motion.
Okay, I make a motion that we accept the PZC's recommendations and the proposed text amendments to chapters 8, 9, 10, and 15.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any other further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None? Passed.
Thank you.
Okay. Shoreline access and beach protection?
Nothing to report.
Nothing to report. Stormwater committee?
Nothing to report.
Okay.
We haven't had a meeting since the last
town
council meeting.
Yeah, since the last one. So. All right. Department head business, administration? Development and compliance?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Your permit report was good. Shows a lot of activity. So, finance, Arlen, anything to...
No update.
There you are. I couldn't find you right there. Thank you, sir. Fire department, Ed?
No update, Mr. Mayor.
Mike, police?
No update, sir.
Y'all are easy tonight. Public works, Jimmy?
I do have a couple
of them. Come on up, Jimmy. Have a
Well, first of all, I'd like to say from the Public Works employees and myself, would like to thank council for the bonus that I requested. You guys followed through. It's been a really tough year. We're down quite a few employees and stuff, so I just felt that this was more like a morale booster than anything, but all the employees of Public Works would like to thank council for this. And also, to let everybody know that none of this money's come from an amended budget. All this came from the Public Works budget. Get to asphalt paving. I got some quotes from the paper company. I've sent the contract over to Attorney Eldridge to go over. Hopefully we can get something signed maybe this week or pretty soon. I'd like to get the scheduling for the asphalt paving done around the end of December to the 1st of January. Second of all, I'm waiting on Civil Solutions to send me the rest of the videos from the outfalls. We have some, but I don't have them all yet. But I'll update you on this on the next council meeting. Also, followed up on the AC Schultes, we're down to the last well rehab. They have the materials ordered for the Ocean Dunes well, and hopefully it'll be on first week of December.
Good.
And then lastly, but not least, it was the smoke testing today. I apologize to all the residents, but you know, sometimes you just have to suck it up and go with it, I'm telling you. But we'll be getting a contract out pretty soon on 4th Avenue North to do some repairs on the sewer lining or the laterals. We found like 8 or 9 today, so I want to get that done before the asphalt pavement comes in end of December. Other than that, that's it for me.
Thank you, Jim.
Do they continue tomorrow or did they finish today, Jim?
Yeah, they will finish up tomorrow. So, like I said, I do apologize, day. But it's something. It really is. My apologies, guys.
No problem.
It's the right thing to do. So for our citizens, if you don't know, if you weren't seeing smoke come out of some of your neighbor's vents in your house, you missed it. The fire department ran a number of calls for properties. But smoke testing is very important to verify the sewer system is not having problems. And so we do that testing periodically, probably every 2 years.
Yeah, it's been almost 5 years now.
Okay, so it's a regular part of maintaining the system for you. And in the long term, you like it. The day or two that you do it, you don't like it as much. So,
It helps us to know where we have water infiltration into our system, where we have more rainwater and stuff getting into our system. So my son chased smoke for a whole summer with an engineering firm when he was in college. So he smelled smoke all summer long.
I mean, we've had it done the last couple of years, and we've narrowed it down to just a few streets now.
Yeah.
So it's,
yeah.
It really helps out.
Thank you. Thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Recreation, Nikki.
Good evening, Mayor. So just a quick couple of announcements. The next two Saturdays, we have the holiday market, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Front Park. And on Atlantic Avenue, we have over 50 art, craft, and food vendors. We'd love to see you guys there. And then prior to the next council meeting, we also have the holiday TV audio event, which is the Grinch themed event. That's Friday, December 13th from 6 to 8 p.m.
If you haven't seen the video, it's on our Facebook page. Please go look at it. It's quite well. Quite doing quite well.
That's all for the
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Nikki. Department heads, thank you for the job you do for us. We're citizens very lucky to have such a fine group of department heads. Under old business, the 2025 parking discussion, as I stated last month, I went into not a whole lot of detail. But this month, and we published the letter that's up on the screen that basically explained why we're having to redo our parking situation. It's all come down to a decision made by the Army Corps of Engineers that had us verify the number of required parking spaces. We signed a PPA agreement back in 1997, and it required us to provide 443 parking spaces, necessary roads, parking areas, and public use facilities. And the key caveat is what is underlined there on the second paragraph, open and available to all at equal terms. The Army Corps of Engineers ruled that our parking fees with resident and non-resident passes were not fair and equal on equal terms because they give the taxpayers here in town a reduced rate on parking. And that was unfair in their determination. Unfortunately, we did not have time to fight their decision or miss the renourishment cycle that's advertised for bid right now. It's out for bid, and those bids will be opened on December 12th. We made our case that our citizens pay taxes and they paid him for all the services that the non-residents get free of charge. And evidently that did not meet the code or did not meet the standard of open and available to all on equal terms. We had no choice but to agree to their terms or miss out on. Right now, our paid parking, the estimate is roughly $15 million for Curie Beach alone this year, and 65% of that, so you can do the math, is, you know, $9, $10 million.
That's for beach nourishment.
Beach nourishment.
Huh?
For beach nourishment.
Beach, I'm sorry, not for paid park, excuse me, for beach nourishment. I think y'all knew what I meant. I'm sorry. So, the beach nourishment is about a $15 million project. We will, so the federal share of that is 65%. Cause our agreement is a little different. Carolina Beaches, ours is 65-35. And we couldn't afford to miss the cycle or be held responsible for that 65%. So we didn't have much choice. We've proposed a set of a draft of the parking fee for the next year. It has some small increases in parking. It also has three options for when our season will begin and end. It also has a season permit, which is substantially higher than the $20 per resident. Ever since our program's been in place, but it's a lot less than the $225 that we charge for a non-resident parking. So we're going to charge up until February 3rd to March 14th is our proposal of $100. That's what's proposed in the draft. And then after March 14th, all passes will be $225. That's fair across the board. Tell your friends and neighbors, get the word out that our residents need to buy their passes ahead of time. I'm sorry it's come to this, but it's, we've come to use this paid parking money to supplement our general fund revenue, and eliminating the paid parking program would be roughly a 5-cent tax increase for every citizen in town and every property in town. So I don't feel like that's fair either. So as you see, that's what we're proposing. Our town clerk, Beth, had started a Cognito form on our website that you can go to. We encourage you or any of your neighbors to have an opinion or other suggestions for our fee schedule. We're taking those, Beth, until when?
December the
9th, and then Beth will supply council all those comments into a spreadsheet so we can see what all the residents have posted.
Yeah, December the 9th.
Yes, and so that's all I have about this tonight. It was just our next step. We wanted to get the word out ahead of time. We wanted our residents to have the opportunity to understand why, and also our residents to have the voice. And then at our next council meeting, if you have concerns or comments you want to make, we will have our public comment period. And then as a council, we will discuss and vote on our fee schedule for paid parking for the 25 season and the hours of operation at our next council meeting. Council, y'all have anything else y'all want to say or comments or anything?
I just like to mention that for those of you who don't remember, this will be moving into our fifth season of paid parking here in Curie Beach. We have not raised the hourly or daily rate in the last 4 years. So if you're questioning why we're raising the rate, it's just to be compatible with neighboring towns in North Carolina. To help with obviously inflation and other aspects that have our expenses have increased over time.
Right. David, do you have anything?
Yeah, just on the website, go to the parking to find the form so you can get the feedback, if you go to the Town of Curious website, there's a parking at the top. If you click on that, then you can find the form to submit. Because we do want you to submit your inputs.
And they have until what date?
December 9th is what it says on the website.
Yeah. John, you have any comment?
No.
Connie, you have anything? No. Mandy, standing up.
I just want to tell everyone, please, 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 if you have not, sign up for communications from the town, because that is how we get all this information out to you. If you're signed up, great, I appreciate it. I try not to send too much information. I try to not spam you. So if you can, please sign up if you're not already, and encourage your friends and your neighbors to sign up too, because parking information goes out and alerts go out and things like that. And then I get a lot of response from people that say, well, we didn't know. We didn't know the date ended. We didn't know the fees. We didn't know how much it was going to be. We communicate. I mean, we're going to advertise it as much as we can everywhere that we can, but our email has a lot of information. So please encourage everyone that you know in our area to please sign up for those.
And encourage them to contact us or do the form online, but we're also here to serve you, and we have to do what we have to make decisions that are in the best interest of everyone. Okay, all right, that's all I have.
Mayor,
all right, yes,
one other thing, I just want to again, I think we mentioned this last meeting, but you may be looking at what Carolina Beach is doing. We are in a different situation than Carolina Beach. All right, so they're, you know, in terms of number of parking spaces, where they can park, where we park, et cetera. So it's not apples to apples when you start looking at what Carolina Beach may or may not do in terms of parking and what Cary Beach is going to do.
Correct.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, because I was talking to their mayor today, and I asked him, I said, you know, you saw that ours is like we have to have 443 per the contract. Theirs is 767. And I asked the mayor, I said, well, how many spaces do you then have that will be for resident passes? And he said, oh, there's still over 600. So that's why when people ask, well, why can they have a resident pass? Well, they still have over 600 spots.
But their resident passes will not give you the ability to park in any beach access parking lots.
Yeah, so only it'll be very confusing down there, because it'll be like, you can't park here, you can park there.
If, they already have private lots, it's already confusing.
It's a lot of confusion. So don't try to compare what is going on with our neighbors to the north,
right.
Please. Okay. All right. Any other comments? Let's move on. If not, consideration and action on proposed text amendments, and I think our attorney has that.
Yes, sir. This is pursuant to instructions received by council last month. The first one is 10060 40 vehicles on the beach strand. We eliminated the requirement that vehicles engaged in beach renourishment are required to get a permit. We took that out. And then down towards the bottom, we took out being charged the fee for those vehicles that are allowed to get a permit to come onto the beach. Those are the only changes. If council could entertain a motion to adopt these amendments.
Make a motion to approve as presented by the attorney.
I'll second.
Motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you, Jim. Next.
Thank you, Council. I'll take the next item too, Mayor. This is another proposed text amendment to KBC 10.10.010D, ticketing of vehicles. Again, this is pursuant to instructions received from Council last month. In the last sentence of C, we took out the provision for a late fee for unpaid tickets that weren't paid in time or remained unpaid. Doesn't have anything to do with paid parking per se, which there was some mention of somewhere. It just has to do with ticketed vehicles and somebody doesn't pay the ticket. Council wanted to remove that late fee provision. That's the amendment in front of you if you'd like to entertain a motion on that.
Any questions?
No questions.
I entertain a motion.
So moved. I move we approve as presented by the attorney.
I'll second.
Motion and a second. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Thank you, Council.
Thank you, Jim. Okay, under new business, 11.1, award Logan Marine agreement for RFP 2401 for beach access ramp. That's the beach access at L Avenue. And Jim, it has your name by that.
I thought you were going to jump in.
I can take it if you'd like me to.
Tag team. This is for the Kama Beach Ramp demolition and reconstruction at location 140, I believe, L Avenue. And although the estimated cost fell below the formal bidding range procurement-wise, we went ahead and gave it a more detailed request for proposal given the nature of the work. I think we received two bids. One was deemed unresponsive. The one that we're awarding the contract to seems to be a very responsible marine contractor with a good reputation. And based on the proposal and the way we do contracts these days, what you've got in front of you is a pretty comprehensive agreement. So the item is to award the contract for that construction project to Logan Marine as set forth in the contract that's part of your agenda package.
Any questions, guys?
Mayor might want to add to that. No,
that pretty well covers it. Jim covered all the things. We sent out to several contractors since it was an informal process because of the dollar amount. We only had two bids come in, and like we said, one was non-responsive or was incomplete, actually. And I have checked out this contractor with our Neil Andrew, who is the engineer that designed the beach access replacement, and he's doing work with that contractor now. He's very pleased with their work, and he's actually did the fishing pier down at the state park. So, and they're pleased with the work. So, I'll entertain a motion to approve.
Just one question. All right. Mr. Attorney, does it need to say they need to get a camera permit? It says permits in general, but I'm okay either way. I'm interested.
Where
for a camera permit before they start their work? It doesn't specifically say it says responsible. But
We already have an exemption in place
for beach access specifically?
And okay. It's a camera grant.
Okay. Oh, well, there you go. I just want to make sure.
Yeah. No, contract. Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Thank
That's
you,
fine.
Babe.
No, sorry. That's good. Good answer, there you go.
Yeah.
No other questions.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
Make a motion we approve as presented.
I'll second.
Motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Next is a consideration of an action of request from Curry Beach Village, HOA. The town received a letter from Curry Beach Village, and I don't have a map to put up, but the entry point into their HOA has a old guardhouse building there, which is in the town's right of way. We have the president of the HOA here, Michael Smith, if he'd like to have any questions for Michael. The HOA, that is in the town right of way. There is a memo that states that the town will allow the HOA to continue to use that building and maintain it until they don't want to, basically. And then it's the town's responsibility. Mike, you have any comments? I think I had some consideration. Yeah, please, if you wouldn't mind. At one point, I had some discussion with the HOA to possibly share the cost, but this letter did not have that cost included. So, Mike.
Okay. As the letter states in front of you all, the HOA has no longer any need for this building or the signage. In fact, the signage has become a problem for some of our neighbors. As well as us, we have folks that believe they're renting in Curry Beach Village, so they are trying to use our amenities and it's just, it's a confusing situation there. Since we're pretty much built out, there's no need for that structure. And the 20-inch storm that we had several weeks ago did cause some damage. The retaining wall that's directly along Fort Fisher Boulevard took quite a beating. And that little guardhouse has mold, so it's just a matter of point that, you know, just like every other organization, we're tired of fixing it. And it's a building that's been on your property. We've been maintaining that property for a number of years. So at this point, we have no need for it. And we'd like to return the property back to you.
All right, so I think the power has been disconnected for several years.
Just recently.
Oh, okay. Okay, so good thing it was before the rain.
It was before the rain,
and the irrigation is not connected.
And the irrigation is not connected. So there's no service there anymore.
Council, I received this request of Thursday of last week, and the time to get it on the agenda. What I would like to recommend us do is look into this matter a little bit closer, get Jimmy to give us a cost estimate of what it would take for Public Works to take the building down. We need to have further conversations about the landscaping and what, you know, is out there, because it will not
I'd be happy to meet with you.
Yeah, so I think we can do that and then come back with some type of a revised agreement before next in the December meeting.
That'll be fine.
I don't think it needs to be torn down anytime in the media. But you know, I know she would before the summer season gets here.
What we were hoping is to get it done during the slow time.
Yeah. Is that agreeable with everybody to do that?
Yes.
Bring it back. We'll just defer it to next month.
Right.
Okay. And we'll set up, Jimmy, if you and Mike could get together. Jimmy, if we could look at what you, if you feel like your staff could possibly knock it down with a backhoe.
I'd love it.
That'd be a good training opportunity, right? Okay. All right. Thank you.
Right. Thank you.
Okay. I have one item for mayor updates. If you saw Duke Energy in town this week, they actually straightened some of the light poles on the south end of town. Mm-hmm. That was a request by a citizen about a year ago at a coffee with the mayor. And they were light poles that were, I know if any of you paid attention when driving down Fort Fisher, right, it's about E Avenue one today, down there. And they were leaning pretty back. They wasn't unsafe. They didn't deem, but they understood about the way they looked. So Duke showed up this week and straightened those poles. As a friend of mine said one time, they unstraightened his poles. They straightened the poles. So we got that done this week, and that's I think it looks a lot nicer going down Fort Fisher. So. Commissioner comments? Dennis, anything?
Along with the discussion of Duke Energy straightening the poles, I don't know if any of you have noticed, but the turtle-friendly amber lights have been installed along Atlantic Avenue. So those are lights that shine directly on the beach, and hopefully they will be less attractive to the hatchlings next year. And also there was a light installed at Fort Fisher in E Avenue, which shines directly across the vehicle access there. And about, I think it was 2 years ago, we had a hatching that we had the turtles coming up the vehicle access to Fort Fisher.
So Davis Road.
Davis Road.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Davis, sorry.
Yeah. Yep. So that's been a... That was another request from a resident that, not a full-time resident, but a property owner on Atlantic Avenue to look into the turtle-friendly lights. And that's been going on for probably 2 years. We finally got that done.
So it
takes a while. David, anything?
I'd just say the Public Works building is in progress. So if you've been by, that's definitely going on track. And the construction team has been doing a good job. Hopefully the local neighbors are happy as how that's going. I haven't heard any complaints, so we appreciate it. And then just as your emergency manager, we continue to work with MASU and DOT on the issues that were highlighted with the 20 inches of rain. That's going to be a slow and long process, so don't expect anything to change in the next couple of months, but you keep leaning on the boxcar and eventually it moves. So we continue to work with that. Appreciate the mayor's support in that and the rest of council, but we continue to communicate with them. Our Department of Transportation engineers are actually out west still for Helene, so the engineers we're trying to work with talk to us on the week they're in town versus the week they're out of town. So they're alternating, and that's really the biggest lift. So from a DOT standpoint, I don't expect a lot of traction for a few more months before we can hopefully at least say, yeah, they agree with us. But what we're really trying to do is open up the outfalls to the river with size increases underneath Dow Road. That wouldn't have fixed the problem, but it looks at least we would have drained faster than we did during that event. So
15 inches less of rain would have helped the problem.
Yeah, it would help a lot. That's all I have, sir.
So, and we are appreciative of Matsu, some of their public works employees and planners did come over, and they're all civilians that met with David and I, and they're very attentive to our needs and discussion, but nothing happened fast.
That's what they said, nothing happened fast.
John, can you comment? Connie, any comment? Folks, we have a closed session. I'll entertain a motion to go into closed session.
Make a motion for going into closed session for personnel issue per North Carolina General Statute 143-318-11A6.
Motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.